Oh, wait, there it is. Oh. It's just really relaxing.
It is super relaxing.
Yeah.
This reminds me of one of the massages I had last week. And by massages, I mean I had two because the first one didn't take. I was so stressed. I was like, I better go back.
No, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go back for a second.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you can. I have I have a membership, so I have like a bunch that are built up I keep paying for and then not using.
That's at the King Spa?
John Tatey, did you breathe a little bit? No. No, they don't have a membership there. That's Massage Envy, who we love, by the way. They do on Veterans Day, they do, I don't know if they did it this year again, but they do a free veterans massage. I'm guessing they did it again this year. John Tatey.
I would hope so.
The editor in chief. We need a Hail to the Chief music for him.
I liked being called the Grandmaster in the intro. That was pretty nice.
That makes me think of People in Sheets. I'm sorry. Did I ruin
it
for everybody?
That's like Grand Wizard. Grandmaster is like chess.
Grandmaster? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But then I changed my mind. I love this hat you're wearing with the Patriots
This was a birthday
logo.
Present. Yeah.
I really love this.
Here we go.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Chief, Editor-in-Chief, yes. Mm-hmm. That's it? Oh. It's a dramatic pause there.
I was just going to say, I forgot that Hail to the Chief had that big pause. Yeah.
Well, because it must be like to where he enters to the doorway.
That's when the president walks
and
in.
Then he, and then he walks on the rest of that march, right? Like there's pause, you admire, and then he walks.
I think they should play that more. Play it every time he comes into the press room or every time he does a big press conference in the, where does he do those? The Red Room? Is
mm-hmm.
that what it's called?
Or the Rose Garden?
I like the idea of playing it more for other people.
I think so too.
Non-presidents.
But they have to have chief in their title.
Or at least you have to be doing something where you're taking the lead.
Yes.
You give the main speech somewhere.
Mm-hmm. We can describe them as being the person in chief in charge and they have chiefdom that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
These are words that I make up. I have a bone to pick with you.
And okay.
You know when people say that to me, it's usually very contentious.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's actually the opposite.
You have a friendly bone to pick?
It's not a bone at all.
Oh, tell me.
I am so addicted to Fargo. It's ridiculous.
Oh, good.
I actually had someone, Esmeralda, you got to watch Fargo. I'm going to guess that you would be as addicted as I am.
You're not watching
currently.
Fargo yet, Esmeralda?
Esmeralda?
I'm not. What am I watching?
It's on FX.com. So if you have a cable carrier.
I have my ways.
Oh, good, good, good. excellent. And I encourage you to do so.
Esmeralda, is there, 4 syllables is tough. Is there a name that people called you for short when you were growing up or that they call you now?
I have many.
Because
I
always want to say Ezzy, but
yeah,
I feel like that would
people,
be rude.
No, you can call me Ezzy.
I call her Ez. I call her Ez, and sometimes it's hard. Like, I feel that it's not authentic enough because she really, because she's
like,
a 4-syllable woman. Like, she commands respect.
She's authentic.
Wow.
She has an authentically long
and,
name.
And she does, and she deserves
goodness.
Every syllable. Esmeralda.
Wow.
What does that say about the two of us?
I know. Patty.
Patty and John.
Patty. John. Yeah. Craig. You guys are 1 syllable. But there's a masculinity, to, I think, to like single-syllable names.
Sure.
John, Craig, Rob, Ert. But
well, let me. Have you heard this? I told someone recently what we're planning to name our son, who's going to be born next month.
This is dangerous territory to share the name that you want to bestow.
I don't think I know. For some people, it is. I didn't care. But it's a 2-syllable name. Mm-hmm. And this person said, oh, you know, it's considered more sonorous to have a name that's 1 syllable off from the last name. So like John.
Could you please look up sonorous for me, please? Thank you. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go ahead and continue.
Have you heard that before? That you're supposed to have.
As soon as they find out what sonorous means.
Is sounds nice.
Yes. And somewhat, and like there's a very, like not, I don't know, it has a.
It sounds so nice because it's not real, but yes, it sounds great.
Well, your real name sounds well, nice as well.
Okay,
with
good.
The Craig in front
okay,
as well.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a great last name that,
I didn't
that we
know
did.
That.
My
did
last
I just
name,
learn a secret?
Yeah, my last
you
name
did,
is also
a secret.
A secret.
Yeah.
Yes. My
yeah, John,
real last.
We're not real people.
No.
Yeah.
Not complete, complete creations for the station.
I was a little upset that I didn't know that Craig had a different name,
mm-hmm.
but I am like now very irritated that I didn't know this about you, Patty. How long have we been doing this together?
I have 3 last names. I have Vasquez is a family name from
okay.
my mom's side. My legal last name, which I do not share, and I actually never use my husband's last name because it's Jones.
Right.
Sorry,
okay.
Steve.
Patty Jones. That does not feel right.
It's, you know how hard it was sometimes for us to check into hotels and he would say Steve Jones and they would give us this look like, uh-huh, hourly. That's happened. That's happened. so yes, Craig, I think there's something about like John Tatey and Craig Collins has a very, I don't know, like boom, boom, like authoritative sort of a thing. You know? Yes.
Except my parents always called me Johnny growing up, so it was Johnny.
Your parents, they don't have to. They don't want you to be authoritative. They're your authorities. They're your, you know, your parental figures.
Sure.
So are you just John, J-O-H-N, or Jonathan?
Just J-O-H-N, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As it should be. Like, well, Nick, Nate, Jack, these are all great names.
Johnny Tatey almost sounds like just one word. That's just one.
Johnny Tatey?
Yeah,
it
that
does.
Runs too close together.
It sounds like a, yeah, it sounds like an adjective. Johnny Tatey.
Can I get some Johnny Tateys?
Or some kind of game.
Yes.
Let's play Johnny Tatey.
Also, oh, there you go.
Or like a snack. That. I think Craig was going toward a snack. Johnny Tatey's.
I'd rather be a
big
game.
Old bag of Johnny Tatey's.
I'd rather be played.
Yes, you'd rather be played,
than eaten. Yeah.
This is a direction we never thought we'd go in, but I like that.
We're just talking names here on Pretty Late.
I love that. 312-981-7200. Would you rather be played or eaten? Call in. Let us know.
312-981-7200. Would you rather? Meaning, would you rather be sour?
This could go off the rails pretty quickly.
Yes.
You can go both ways, though, because the game could be then, could inspire a snack.
Or it could be an eating contest.
Inspired by the game, Johnny Tatey.
Then we're confused. If Johnny Tatey is an eating contest, I don't know what happens.
I think this is spectacular. I love how these our minds are working together. It's not so much a brain meld as it is sort of like an explosion. Sort of a weird something, and that's fine. I love those moments. By the way, sonorous, did we find out what that meant, Craig? No, we have not. Okay. And please don't tell me, John. I think that it'll be fun to have Craig click in. So does that change your thoughts on the name that
no,
you were considering?
We're very
for
happy with the name.
I made the mistake once of a friend. Let's call her Carla because that's her name. And she called me and had a list of names that she was thinking of naming their son. Mm. And one of them was Simon. And I went on about, oh, don't call him Simon. Simon Says, Simple Simon.
Oh, I didn't even think Simple Simon. Yeah.
Oh, no, I hope it's not. But anyway, then she, it wasn't, it was, she had buried.
She went with Simon?
Not only that, but it was the name she had already chosen. She had just put it in a list of other names. And it was the one I locked into.
That's rotten. Come on. Well, it's like she laid a trap for you.
A little bit. And then I apologized years later, but she had already forgotten. But then she got mad again, having remembered.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to be careful. I don't know when not to put
you
my
You apologized phone. Years later.
And I was like, because I don't know how to leave well enough alone. I was like, I am so sorry about that.
I like the narcissism in that. You're like, she could never have forgotten this conversation she had with me 5 years ago.
Well, that I messed up so badly that I was worried that it had affected our friendship because I hadn't spoken to her in a long time. So I wasn't sure if that was by her choice.
So this was the first time you've spoken to her in a long time and you made her mad?
She's more a friend of like my husband's. She's my husband's friend's wife. Right. So it's all kind of peripheral anyway. But we have been friendly. Although, I mean, I say so many things like to her. I have this sort of mouth problem when I talk to her. Like I can't filter. In general, I have that issue. Hmm. But I told her her husband, let's call him John because that's his name. not a very, you know, he's kind of a lean guy. That's what I'm saying now because years ago I said that he looked kind of frail. I could break him over my knee and she didn't like that. I may have said that at their wedding during their rehearsal. Do we find out what sonorous means? You can't find S-O-N-O-R-O-U-S.
Correct.
I believe that's the way. Because mm-hmm. I would be.
So you know the word then. You're just playing right now.
No, I'm not playing. I can spell is all. I mean, like this is one of the things. Yes.
Capable of producing a deep and ringing sound.
Oh, deep.
Using imposing language. There are two definitions.
This is what I'm saying. Yes, imposing language.
Right.
Yes, I think that single syllable male names. But whereas for women, oh, okay, more after this on 720. You're listening Pretty Late. I hope you're feeling all a little bit lighter, a little bit less stressed, or maybe we make you more stressed. That's entirely possible. Just the sound of my voice might make someone stressed. It's entirely possible.
I think that's happened. Yeah.
I know. It does, absolutely.
I think it happened during the break.
I did get a little stressed. Sketchfest is coming in doing James Van Osdall's show, and they're very good friends of mine, and I guess they need an invitation is what they're waiting for. You're invited, Brian Posen, to my show.
You made the
I called everybody.
You made the angriest, friendliest phone call I think I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Patty's talking to these guys from Sketchfest, and she's like, if you didn't know what was happening, you would think she was furious, except she's being very happy and friendly and welcoming the actual substance of the
friendly
message.
Rage is my specialty.
That's the truth.
It really truth. It is. It's my super skill. I don't know how it's received, because the person I was talking to that did answer sounded a little bit worried. And I didn't mean for it to be the
case. I could tell, because you had to be like, no, I'm actually being nice right now. You had to reassure him.
Yes.
You're hooked on Fargo, we were talking about before the news.
So this is what happened. The wonderful hosts that let me stay in their home in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Mark DiCarlo and Danny Alvarez, they have an entertainment room that is spectacular. It's recliners with like cup holders, all leather, you know, like a sectional.
Oh, nice.
It's so nice. And then they have this massive television, which actually can also be covered by a projector. A screen, so it's a whole wall.
They have both?
They have
a television and a projector screen that comes
in? Yeah, it's a massive television. I want to say it's like maybe a 50-inch television.
Why both?
Because he likes hockey and baseball. So he watches them on the projector screen, which I do not know how to lower. So I left that alone. And I was perfectly happy with the 50-incher. And yes. So they also have on demand. Well, they had their DVR, and sometimes I'll go through someone else's DVR to see what they watch. They were traveling.
I like that. It's like a socially appropriate medicine cabinet to gauge someone's personality.
I love that. That's absolutely. Also, yes, I do sometimes look at people.
Rightfully. Yeah, obviously, but you're not supposed to.
And I don't take any of them. So I went through, and here's, by the way, I wonder if Mark is okay. I think he would be all right with my saying what he watches. A lot of History Channel stuff. All the Blackhawks mm-hmm. and Cubs, all on his DVR.
Okay.
He also has Johnny Carson. He has anything with Tim Conway. Anything, so like that's kind
great.
Of.
Great.
Yes.
I love it.
He also, The Family Guy. He has,
this is a pretty eclectic mix.
Yes, it is. And then he had he had four Fargos in his rotation.
First season or second season?
This season, second season.
Okay.
So I assumed that was the whole season so far. So I started watching one and I was hooked. It was so good. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved everybody. And including the cast, Kirsten Dunst is amazing.
She's fantastic.
So good. And
playing a character unlike anything you have seen her play before.
No doubt. I mean, and it was so weird because I did not realize, and I'm sure you had told us, you had given us a synopsis, and I think my eyes glazed over because I was like, this sounds really heavy and dark.
Thanks, Patty.
And I know, but I was just like, it sounds too intense to watch every week. And I was watching, I'm like, my God, I mean, like, is that hairstyle coming back? I was like, oh my God, I can feather my hair again. And then I noticed the really frosted blue eyeshadow, and I was like, well, that's never a good look. And then I realized it's 1979.
1979, that's right.
So what had happened was, I'm watching it, and the story is unfolding, and you know, the police is trying to piece together this shooting and mm-hmm. all the, you know, the crime and stuff. And I watched all four. I binge watched four episodes, which I think, is that considered binging if you watch four, or is not enough?
Oh yeah, that's over the line.
Yeah, is it not over the line?
No, I mean it's over the binging line.
Binging line. Yeah. Yes, I think two in a row is safe. Once you commit to almost 3.5 hours of your life.
Yeah, I think three is like, you watched a bunch of episodes. Yeah. Four is a solid binge. Mm-hmm. You're into binge territory then.
And I really wanted more. And I had gone online and I saw the beginning of this one episode where there's a Native American standing in a field that looks like they're filming a movie.
That's the first one.
See, that's the thing. I didn't know that. I started on the second episode and was still hooked. I thought that was the pilot episode. I thought, wow, this is brilliant. Like, they're just showing us like flashes of what had happened. And it seemed to me like they were trying to solve this crime I didn't see the crime actually happen. And I thought, I was like, wow, this is such great storytelling.
Right.
Like, they're sort of just giving it to us in pieces. I honestly, never for a minute did I think I had joined the series too late.
I am a big advocate of jump in wherever you want.
Yeah.
I first started this with Parks and Recreation. I got in on the second season, and I still haven't seen the first season ever. I've watched almost every episode except anything from the first season, and it hasn't hurt me at all. And so I started to think, well, I can just jump in anywhere. TV is built so that you can just sort of jump in anywhere. I'm trying to think of another show I did this with recently. Something on Netflix, but Netflix makes it so easy. Like, you've got all the episodes in front of you, and I, like, if it's a show show that's been around for a while, sometimes I don't want to start with season one, episode one, to gauge how I'm going to like it. You know,
right.
I want to see after they've gotten it going a little bit and mm-hmm. once they've hit their groove. So I'm really an advocate of jumping in the middle. Fargo is an interesting case because, and this is something I talked about this week on our videos that we have on the AV Club, mm-hmm. avclub.com, called Polite Fight, where we sort of, me and a video producer kind of politely argue about interpreting this week's episode of Fargo. And on this episode that's going to go up, this video that's going to go up this week, I talked about how I always notice whether at the beginning of a Fargo episode they have the previously on scenes. You
okay.
know how at the beginning they'll say previously on Fargo. Mm-hmm. Actually, on Fargo, they say erstwhile on Fargo because
yes.
that's Fargo. And but they don't always have it. And the way I interpret that is if they don't have that at the beginning, I sort of read that as them saying that this episode can stand on its own.
And they don't have it for the second episode. Otherwise, I would have been like, oh, where's the first?
I think they've only done it once, maybe twice this whole year. And really, and especially this week's episode, I think stands on its own. You could mm-hmm. jump right in. You wouldn't know everything. You might be
You've
a
already
confused.
Seen this week's episode?
Yeah, it airs Monday nights.
Oh, yesterday. I don't have it in my DVR yet.
Got to get it in there. Catch up. I'm sure they'll re-air it.
Oh,
this week
certainly.
Sometime.
And yeah. I can watch it online, too.
Yeah.
But it's better on a. Although now I'm like hooked on a 50-inch screen.
I'll tell you what. They send me the screeners, and they send these critic screeners, but the quality is not super, and they have big watermarks over there. It
Ooh.
Says copyright
yes,
FX Networks,
all that
right?
Stuff, yeah.
So I've stopped watching the screeners because the
sure.
show is too beautiful to be sullied that way.
I was watching. So I had James Vickery was over, by the way, Craig. This is how I found out I had not seen the pilot episode. I sat down with James and I was like, you know, you got to watch Fargo. You got and I by the way, I sat there and binge watched with James. We watched three episodes in a row, two of which I had already seen. Because now I was watching it with a different perspective of like, what? But one of the things I love is almost every opening shot, a lot, they often have a long shot of some of driving, whether it's the bus
yes. yeah.
or, you know, the car rolling up to the compound, or it's a lot, and it's all in the winter. By the way, Ted Danson is the best he's ever been, I think, on this show. I love
What about
him.
That scene with him and Betsy Salverson at the kitchen island in probably the last one you saw last mm-hmm. week's episode? Maybe you haven't seen this one
his
yet.
With his daughter.
Oh,
yes. My God.
And talking about how he is trying to contend with her sickness. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the best performance I have ever seen from Ted Danson. I didn't even know he had it in him.
Oh,
I was so moved by his heartbreak
so
there.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. But it's fine because the storyline of her being sick. And again, the other thing, Jean Smart, Brad Garrett, you know,
yep.
Bodie, what's his name? Bodie, the black guy in the show.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He's so good too. I mean, like his,
we should look, Craig, can you
writing.
Check on that?
Yes.
We should give him credit because he is, as Mike Milligan, mm-hmm. He is fantastic.
The
and he's sort of the poet warrior mm-hmm. of this season.
Oh, man. What I did love, too, I felt like there was a nod to Bill Macy with the typewriter guy. I felt like that was very, like, it just reminded me so much of Bill Macy. Like, oh, geez, like, kind of getting in over his head.
Yeah, there's definitely, and this is another interesting conversation that happens on the site. A lot of our readers debate, like, first season characters, how they map on to second season characters. Like,
okay.
This is this season's Lester or whatever.
Got
I know you
it.
Haven't seen the first season,
right.
but that's just as entertaining,
Do
I'll
you
say.
Think? Okay, because this is so crazy good.
The first season is fantastic, too. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about Fargo, and I think I've talked about this on this show before, is how elemental its storytelling is and how, you know, fundamentally it is informed by this contrast of sort of red, visceral, human savagery and the pure white politeness of this Minnesota nice construct,
yes.
right? And I think that plays out in familiar ways in the characters. So yes, this typewriter salesman reminds you of William H. Macy from the original movie. Mm-hmm. And I think they just sort of recapture those themes and recombine them in different ways in the characters. Do we have the name of the actor?
Bokeem Woodbine. Yeah. He said it in my ear.
Oh, okay. Bokeem Woodbine.
I cheat a little bit sometimes. I have, and Craig, you know, you're always welcome to tell us, you have to make me look smart. we all know the truth. I can't. Yeah, no, the elemental parts that you were just mentioning, you know, and like I said, the overlay. I have a theory about the scene with Ann Cusack, who plays the judge. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't want her to go away.
No, you don't. She just has that one scene.
It's transcending, I think. She was really amazing. But what she says in that scene about the Bible, and she says if Satan couldn't get, was it Job?
Yes.
Right. I think there's a, now. Have you guys talked about this in your debates about who is Job in this season of Fargo?
I talked about it in regard to that scene, but not in terms of the season. Tell me your theory.
I don't know his name, but it's the guy who has to clean up everything, has to clean up the car.
Oh, Ed.
I think it's Ed.
Yeah, Ed Blomquist.
Yeah, because he seems to like, no matter what happens, he's kind of like, well, this is what we're doing, and this, I'm not veering from this. Okay, then fine. You know, it's just everything, you know.
I love that, Patty. I'm going to talk about that on the site next week.
Yeah.
I think that's a great insight.
He just kind of like, he goes, okay, this is, you know, he just takes it all in. His wife is super crazy and has done something just off the charts. And he's like, okay, all right, well, let's take care of this. Oh, we're going to do this now. He just keeps plodding along, and,
yeah,
and he's not going to be, I don't know if that changes.
Well,
in the last,
you can see I'm kind of smirking a little bit, because his character, what happens to him and what happens within him.
He's going
to next few episodes.
Oh,
I don't mean to imply there's some huge turn, but I just think that Ed's plight deepens.
Okay.
Guess I will say that much.
Do you have you mentioned that previously on, you've noticed only once, mm-hmm, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on coming up next? Because I kind of don't like it on this show. I kind of don't want...
I don't watch it. I don't watch it on,
yes,
most shows.
Okay, that's probably... Because I'm torn over that. Because sometimes you like a little taste of what's coming up. You know, like Griffin always wants to see what's coming up on S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever show it is. Like maybe Flash. We watch a lot of superhero shows.
You know, it's kind of a moot point, because the trend now is to have these coming up next week sequences where the clips are chopped so fine that you can't really derive any meaning from them.
Mad Men was brilliant.
Mad Men was the one that started this trend.
Completely
really.
Nonsensical. Completely
useless.
Yes, which was fantastic. You just basically got to see what they're going to wear in upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. I have to go home and watch this week's episode of Fargo on my laptop. Such a good show.
This is some season one Fargo.
Oh, is it really? I don't know the difference. It's good though.
It's so,
is it always
beautiful.
Is it snowy? Is it never not snowy in Fargo?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's just part of the,
yes,
setting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be winter in Fargo.
Well, they have that joke in North Dakota about how if you're the great thing about living in a place that's so flat is if your dog runs away, you can see him for days. So that's the joke.
That's cute.
Yes. I have performed many times all over North Dakota, South Dakota. It was kind of where I got my legs, my comedy legs, was all over the Midwest, Iowa. So I've been in many of those places.
That's tough, because when I was doing stand up in the mid 2000s, way back when, mm-hmm, most of my gigs were in New York, and then I went out, like even just into New Jersey, mm-hmm, you know, not just over the river, but kind of a distance into New Jersey, and I really had to rearrange my set, because the first night I was like, oh, this stuff that flies in New York does not fly out here.
Did you ever read about how Woody Allen just decided that he didn't have to?
Yeah.
I mean, and it makes sense.
And that's one way to solve that problem.
Yes, is to make it all, and which is why all of his movies, I mean, his perspective on the world, you know, why try to carve it into something else?
Probably the reason your material didn't work as well in New Jersey is because those people were so much smarter than the New York people.
I think so. Yeah, I had to raise my game.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Because the thing is, I mean, but I'm guessing if he did it in his home state of New Hampshire, that it would be even a higher level of.
I don't know how that's possible. The people in New Jersey, I think they're,
that's true,
the upper echelon. Okay.
All right then. You are also a video game aficionado. Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself an aficionado?
I would, maybe not as much as I was when I was running a game site, but mm-hmm, I still love video games, and I have a recommendation for any game inclined listeners, and that's Fallout 4. probably the biggest release of the year, and I've been playing it for the past couple weeks. It's the fourth main numbered entry in the series. Mm-hmm. That's how they, because there's spinoffs and it gets complicated. But this was a big one. It takes place in Boston, and it's a post-apocalyptic game, an action role-playing game, and okay. You play the survivor of a nuclear apocalypse, and it's set in Boston, this one.
Okay.
The last one was in Washington, D.C., and then there was Fallout New Vegas, obviously set in Las Vegas, and this one's in Boston. It's this vast world.
What's the vault?
The vault is where every Fallout game starts, and okay. The vaults were these bunkers, basically these mm-hmm. elaborate bunkers that were built before this war, and you are a survivor who waited it out in one of these vaults. In fact, in this one, you were cryogenically frozen in this vault, which is a new twist.
I don't know if I would like that.
No, well, no. You don't. You're duped into it, so you don't like it. But, you know, it's however many decades later when you get out. But I love this game because of its spatial storytelling. And you... What is that?
This is a game that you had recommended on your site that I have on my iPad. It is... wait, which one is it? It's Snap Attack.
Oh, I love Snap Attack.
I know.
A little different game from Fallout.
I just pulled out my iPad to show you that I do listen to your recommendations. That was when I had seen on your site.
And you're having fun with it?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a little challenging. I have never really read the instructions. I just keep playing and I'm like, I think I'm doing this right.
Okay, so I'll make it a twofer. On one end, these could not be more different games. On one end of the spectrum, you've got Fallout 4, an action game, a vast world to explore, and you really get to chart your own direction and build your own character. That's the fun of this one.
Explain it more in depth when I come back for just a moment.
Oh, okay.
I do this. 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. We often talk to Mark Carman on Tuesday nights, but he's a busy guy. And plus, he plays tennis at night.
Like, he does?
Yes.
Where?
I don't know. But he goes someplace where you can play tennis very late in the evening. Like, I know he's played at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So
he might be playing tennis right now.
He might be playing tennis right now, which we encourage if he, you know, can't fit it into his
day. Do you really encourage him to play tennis during his spot on the Pretty Late with Patty
Vasquez? Hey, stay healthy. I encourage it. You know, there are some guests that we are very flexible for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carmen's
including
a good
you
egg.
And Carm.
Yeah.
And Sketchfest. They're doing James Van Osdell's show.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Here
we
go
again.
You have a great piece that you do every week on the AV Club football, devoted to its block and tackle.
Block and tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday morning on avclub.com, I talk about football. And, Patty, remind me what I talked about last week. Do you
it's
have
a
it
coin
up here?
Toss. I don't have it.
Oh, the coin
I actually
toss.
Don't have it, but I remember having
oh, wow.
looked at it.
That's right. Last week, we talked all about the coin toss. I sort of gave the history of the coin toss. There have been a lot of snafus, and last week there was another one in which Cowboys fans insisted that who were they playing this last week? I think it was Philly. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Eagles 2 weeks ago. It was who they thought that the Eagles captain called heads. The Cowboys fans did, but
did he have his mouth guard in? Is that what was distracting? Like they couldn't
fine.
Hear.
No, he didn't. I mean, the problem is that just heads and tails sound kind of similar. You know, it's not.
There's no hard K sound.
It's not that right. It's not that easy to distinguish
consonants, yes.
over the PA system of the stadium. So he called tails. The coin toss was tails. The Eagles won on a touchdown, and that was it. They won the game. Dallas never got the ball in overtime, and Dallas fans said the guy actually said heads. Dallas should have gotten the ball. And so in the column, I sort of went over this history of bungled coin tosses, or maybe not bungled.
How many
just
others
weird
have there
ones.
Been?
There's been a bunch of them. There was one at the Super Bowl, just the Super Bowl before last. They brought Joe Namath out to toss the coin. This nice ceremony, Joe Namath wearing this absolutely ludicrous fur coat for the coin toss ceremony. And Joe just grabs the coin and flips it before anybody's called it.
Oh.
And the ref, Terry McCauley, for that Super Bowl, did this great move where he, in an instant, just reached out and snapped the coin out of the air before it could hit the ground. and said, we have to get the call first. But it was a heads up, no pun intended, heads up move by Macaulay. Although right. I don't know that, like, if it had hit the ground, that really would have been. I think he just could have said that doesn't count. Right. But he did not want that coin to touch turf before somebody had called.
Called, right. And who knows how things would have changed had the original toss been allowed to go. But since no one called, neither heads nor tails.
That's right.
We shall never
it
know.
It didn't matter.
So strange.
But my point about the coin toss was that it doesn't even matter what the Eagles guy said. Like, all that matters, the coin toss is not designed to be fair. It's only designed to be random.
It's chance.
Complete
yes.
chance.
Yeah.
So whether he actually said heads or tails doesn't actually matter because the ref thought he said tails, and it's a 50-50 shot either way.
Yes.
So there was no advantage or disadvantage gained.
Is there any talk about perhaps having a different sort of procedure?
It's so silly, isn't it, that in 2015 we're tossing a coin, but I think it's kind of adorably quaint.
I mean, I guess that's why I love baseball. You know who's up first because they're the away team, right?
Yeah,
you let your
right.
guests go first. I kind of love that.
Yes.
Your guests after you.
Right.
And well, then you get close at the game.
In football, the visiting team calls the toss. That's the graciousness extended to them.
Let's see what Carm thinks about the this,
oh,
this
here
coin toss.
Is.
Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great. I greatly apologize for my tardiness, but we had a very, as you may hear, there is some commotion going on right now. Very extensive tennis match. Battle out here at the Patrick tonight that went overtime.
Are you for reals? Because I was saying that perhaps you were out playing tennis.
Well, I am. Very sweaty right now. And in a
I can tell.
And I can't find my keys, which would be a bad situation.
Are you in the locker room?
I'm in the corridor where all the star players play.
You play. The star players play in the corridor?
Well, you know, when you come off, I just signed a bunch of autographs, and and now I'm coming out where the people are.
Do you want to tell us where you play, or do you want to keep that secret? I don't want people to come watch your, you know, prowess.
Oh, no, listen, I'm at the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. I'm either there or at the McFetrich Sports Center. I'll let you be the
That's
guest.
What it was. How late are they open at McFetrich?
Well, we were getting shoot out the court by personnel. There is a midnight closing time, but we had a very detailed match this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And
very detailed, did you say?
Well, you know, it was back and forth, a lot of deuces, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Sounds like a real mess.
It really was. It was, but I just found my keys. Guys, if I could hug you through the phone, I would. It was... We lost the first set, but then we came back with a vengeance down in the second to pull it off,
mm-hmm.
and then just a battle royale in the third to get it done.
Hold on one second. Can you leave there for one moment? Was that your sweatshirt, or was that your bag? What are we zipping?
We're zipping the head tennis bag, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Red and black. It provides the extra mode of intimidation that I like when I walk on the court. You can wear it as a backpack, and you walk out there. And you just snarl at people, and
Ooh.
You say, "I'm Mark Carmen, and I mean business. That's what I do."
Good to know. Now I love that we have like all the texture of where he's playing
yeah.
and how he struts out onto the court.
Oh, I can hear the sweat.
I can. You sound very drippy.
Well, now I have reached the outer. It's beautiful outside, guys.
It really. I have to agree with you. Please, everyone, if you have a chance, not tonight, perhaps. Do we know what the forecast is? Esmeralda, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Is it continue to be a balmy like 59, 60 degrees? Or is it dropping tomorrow? Poor Es, I put her on.
It's a high of 62 with thunderstorms
yep.
tomorrow.
Exactly
Ooh,
correct.
But that's why tonight feels so good. It's like 59 degrees,
mm-hmm.
but there's like that post, you know, thunderstorm, rain,
yep.
moisture in the air.
Yep.
And by the way, to your point of everyone get out, on Saturday it will be snowing.
Just get out right now.
So,
go.
Get out.
I changed my mind. Get out of the house. Esmeralda, let's go outside. Can we broadcast from like outside on Michigan Avenue?
Oh, it gets real cold this weekend, man.
Maybe we go to McFetrich. Maybe we meet Carm at the corner of California and Irving and just hang out with him there.
Just on the corner.
And just do the rest
of the
show.
That'd be awesome. We could go over to Gordon Tech and maybe take a class or two.
It's not Gordon Tech anymore, by the way, my friend.
It isn't?
It isn't. It's DePaul Prep.
Oh, you know what? That's interesting because I was putting it in my GPS, and it said, like Gordon Tegan, it said DePaul Prep. I'm like, okay. I didn't really think much of it, but clearly I should have thought much of it. Okay.
These are things that, this is kind of like the area code thing,
yeah.
John Tegan.
Wow, Patty Vasquez, human GPS over here.
No, it's my high school is right down the street. Lane Tech is just striking distance from Gordon Tech.
Was
formerly.
There a rivalry?
One that I created mostly. They were the wow. Gordon Tech Rams, and the bus was very crowded. A lot of us took the blue line to Addison, and we all would get off there. And I eventually got so tired of riding the bus with the Gordon Tech Rams. I would sit in the back of oh, Craig, I just realized how I perfected the noise. So they were the Gordon Tech Rams. I would sit on the bus and go, all the goats are on the bus. Get out of the way for the goats.
That's why you're so good at that.
I didn't even know until this very moment.
We have to have you do that again then. We have to get you on a bus doing that noise.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that was I was just annoyed because they were cluttering my bus.
I picture now a bus full of you making that noise.
Yeah.
Just 100 of you.
It's not a sheep, by the way. Those of you who think I'm doing a sheep goes bah, bah, and I was doing all right, anyway. Thus endeth
you
my
got all the boys, right?
Yeah, I didn't date in high school. I mean, I think that kind of speaks for itself. I did date a Gordon Tech goat, though, at one point.
Oh, that's kind of.
I know. Phil, let's call him Phil, because that was his name. Moreau, because that was his last name. Also.
Oh, yeah. How long did you date him?
Just for a few months.
Was it like a Sharks and Jets type thing?
It was weird. But again, the boys at my school wouldn't date me. Like, nobody asked me out. And then he tried going up my shirt, and I said, that's it. We're done. It's true. Carm's like, you can't blame a guy for trying, is what Carm's laugh says right now.
What do you expect from a goat?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll eat anything.
All horny. John, are you able to hang out? Or are you done for the
I'm
evening?
I'm going
to
take off. I'm sorry.
We thank you for your time. Carm, can you hold on the line, or are you done for the night as well?
I can.
All right. We'll catch up some more with sports with Mark Carman. When he gets in his car, it'll be less windy. John Tatey, will we hopefully see you next week, or are things getting a little bit busy for you?
I hope so, for crazy Thanksgiving here on Pretty Late, right?
Well, if you can come Tuesday... You can come, and then we'll see you on second Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carm, are you in town for Thanksgiving?
I am.
Okay, so we have a second Thanksgiving that evening, you know, where all of our favorites, our regulars, all come in, bring their leftovers, and we hang out and eat and drink.
I can't wait.
I'll be there all night with doing Bears football and then waiting for
That's
you.
That's right.
Patty.
That's
oh,
right.
Perfect.
I forgot. That's excellent. All right. Thank you so much, John Tatey. AVClub.com. Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey and also on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you next
Nobody
week.
Nobody knows how to spell that. That's J-O-H-N-T-E-T-I, in case you're wondering.
See how I'm just so used to it that I assume things and I should not, because you know what happens. I'm a total ass. More after this on 720 WGN.